Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
The Media Project is underway. Here we go. If we can get
is
everybody
Alan
just...
shushing me?
I think he's trying to shush you before you even start. Can you believe
that?
Here we go. There's something vaguely Trumpian about that, isn't there?
Yes.
That's a new adjective, yeah.
Just to cut down and shut up the press?
The women in particular.
Yes.
Are you going to say anything in your defense here, Dr. Shardock?
No.
Wise
said
man.
Enough.
This is the Media Project from Northeast Public Radio. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union, here with Rosemary Armeo, professor at the University of Albany and investigative journalist.
That Hello.
That would be the woman in the room. And Dr. Ellen Shartok, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio, professor emeritus, columnist, commentator, et cetera, et cetera. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
Anyway, we have a lot of issues to cover talking about the media today. We start off actually talking about football because that's one of Alan's favorite topics. Alan's a real football fan. You know,
Bennett.
What do you call the team in Dallas?
The Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, there you go. He got one. Okay. We spoke on this program last week about a then-just-published New York Times article. Actually, it was published digitally before it came out in print a few days later, which is a pattern we may discuss someday, about the NFL, about the fact that, you know, there had been this study that the NFL put out some years ago about concussions, which has become a major topic of conversation, thanks to New York Times investigative reporting. And
they make the point, right, Rex,
yes,
that they lied by omission.
That is the key point of this thing, that the study that was based upon, that the NFL based its work upon, left out a lot of concussions that NFL teams hadn't reported, and therefore the data was flawed. A significant investigation. Now, this week, the NFL fires back, right?
It's good for the New York Times. It has resulted in a tweet storm between the lawyers, the NFL, the New York Times, which has called attention. I've begun reading it myself just because I want to be able to talk about it. And that is a good thing. I've said before, my money's on the New York Times on this one.
Because?
Well, one of the authors of the pieces is Walt Bogdanich, who is a name known very well in the investigative reporting sphere. His house is lined with Pulitzer Prizes. He has three. His wife, Stephanie Saul, has one. He has taken on in the past the tobacco industry, China. This is a guy who knows how to go after big players, who gets it right, who could see the links between, and of course that's one of the bones of contention here, the tobacco industry and football. If I had to guess which one had it right, my money right now is on Walt.
Well, so let me see if I get this straight. The point is that the Times found out that the NFL wasn't giving them all the data that they needed, and they were holding stuff back.
Not from the Times, but rather the NFL had provided data for a study done some years ago that the NFL cited as being the definitive thing that said, you know, the concussion issue isn't that bad.
It isn't that bad. Well, of course it is that bad. And I've always known it's that bad. Two giant behemoth guys, sorry, Rosemary, run at each other and clonk their heads. And you're going to get the kind of thing that happened to Muhammad Ali, for example. So the natural conclusion to that is to ban football. Now, it is the natural conclusion, except that football is to this country what the lions and tigers were, you know,
to the jungle. Yeah. Right. Yes, so, exactly. And the other thing the Times reported in this most recent piece, the Bogdanich piece, is that the links between the NFL and Big Tobacco, and the strategy that Big Tobacco pursued in initially denying a lot of the scientific evidence supporting the link between tobacco and cancer, between cigarette smoking and cancer, is the same sort of strategy that is being pursued by the NFL in talking about head injuries.
Correct. So, and he says this is learned because there's all these interlocking relationships between who's on the board and who's in the power structure of the NFL, and it's people with ties to it. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So here's why a newspaper, probably the best newspaper in the United States, plays an incredible role. Because once they inject themselves by finding out what the real facts are, they change the merits of the debate, right? I mean, then things can change.
It's also interesting that in a constant focus, this is also another thread through Walt Bogdanich's work, is the role of big tobacco. The Chicago Tribune a few years ago took a look at the food industry and its use of sugar and fat to hook people. Mm-hmm. Nicotine hooks you on cigarette smoking.
It's the same way Trump does.
With the tobacco industry.
Uh-huh. Trump uses sugar and fat. Lately.
No, but he does. It's equivalent. Yeah. Sugar should be seen in a metaphorical thing.
Mm-hmm.
Keep all the Muslims out. Build a wall around the United States.
Low nutrition, high energy.
And a bunch of baloney, or worse, and which he can't do. But still unfulfilling calories, I suppose. That's the best way of looking at it.
Well, President Obama doesn't like our coverage of Mr. Trump either.
Yeah, true. The president actually used an interesting occasion to take a little shot at the press. I mean, it was a thoughtful speech in many respects. It was what's called the Toner Prize, which is a prize in honor of a woman named Robin Toner, who was a political reporter for The Times, who died in 2008. And so the president was speaking at the awarding of this prize, and he said the journalists need to do a better job of covering the substance of the campaign. He says around the world, people care about America, and the people are saying to him, what's happening in America about our politics? And he suggests the news media has not done enough to question the promises made by politicians, which...
I just mentioned them.
The question,
world Muslims, things like that.
Yeah, the Times article about it says that, you know, maybe he's not just referring to Trump, but perhaps also to Bernie Sanders, because the promise of free college tuition, national health care coverage, social programs that some critics have said could cost $6 trillion.
Well, in all honesty, that's just ridiculous. And the reason it's ridiculous is not that you're ridiculous, Rex. I would never say that. Well, the idea that when Bernie says we should go towards national health care, he's right. It's not stupid like saying no Muslim can ever come into the United States, so you're going to put a wall, or free education to everybody. I've been espousing that for years. It's absolutely so. What, you're going to bring everybody up to high school? You're going to talk about equality of opportunity? And then you're going to say, okay, but here's how we segregate people, by keeping them out of college because they can't pay $500, let alone $60,000? He's right. There's a big difference, don't you see?
There's a lot of that in the press, though. The Toner Prize is administered by Syracuse University. I'm actually a low-level judge for it. I have been for several years, and I read all of these stories. And the fact of the matter is the press does cover all these things. But I think the president is talking about the overall level, and he's talking a lot about television, which gives you a different skewed version than the totality of political reporting in America.
I think that's a very important distinction, because we know from seeing things like PolitiFact online, which analyzes coverage and has found that more than two-thirds of the fundamental issue statements made by Donald Trump are either mostly false or pants on fire, which is their worst.
Do you think people don't really get that? Here's what
I
think.
They don't care.
They don't care.
Well, that's right.
But the press is doing the job. The press is telling people.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But it's all economics. That's the point. I've said it before. If, in fact, you know that your channel will go lower in the ratings if you don't have Trump and his nonsense, then you have Trump. It's that simple. So that way you have more listeners, you could sell more advertising as a result of that, and that's just the way it is. The other thing is that your industry, Rex, in particular, we've actually, stayed stet. But you're
stayed
in
stayed what, sorry?
Stet, the same. In other words, we haven't lost employees here. But, to be able to walk into a newsroom around the United States and see every desk filled and people humming and the rest of it, and now you get three guys, huddled in the end. At the end of the room with all of these desks. So when Obama says you should do more, that's easy to say, but the economics are a real factor in what you can do.
Well, when those newsrooms were filled, they were mostly filled with people who were writing recipes and feature stories and local news. They were not all covering national politics, so I'm not sure that the economics are really the issue. Some of the best talent in the country still is reporting on politics. I think Trump has been a game changer in ways that the industry has not come to terms with yet. We know there's a problem with their coverage, and we don't know how to fix it. I find lots of writing about, oh, my God, have we made Trump? What are we not doing right? Should we show him less? Should we show him more? We don't really know how to deal with a man who's a master of bypassing the press, is what he has done.
Well, so is the president. The president bypasses the press. The president, I mean, actually, your buddy Joe Scarborough, Alan, makes this point.
Him that, I don't like.
But you watch his show all the time, right?
No, you're part only of the, occasionally.
Well, what do you know?
I'd rather watch old editions of Gunsmoke myself.
Marshall Dillon. The president, you know, doesn't do substantive interviews with the reporters in the White House press corps. But he'll go sit down with a YouTube star, or he'll
be on a late night TV show too.
Yeah, exactly.
President Obama was more than a little hypocritical in his criticism, as James Warren, a media writer, pointed out. He has the worst record ever for responding to freedom of information requests from reporters. He has sent whistleblowers to jail. He does not have as many or as substantive meetings with the press as his predecessors. So for him to say, oh, the press isn't doing a good job, there is a reason for that.
Yeah, the reason is the same way, the reason that the press isn't doing that well. It doesn't work for him in the same way it doesn't work for CNN or the other cable or MSNBC. It doesn't work.
That's exactly right. That actually is a question. What the president's advisors are telling him to do is to reach the audience on the medium that they like. I mean, actually, Rosemary used an interesting term in our first discussion about the Times investigation of the NFL. She referred to a Twitter storm about that NFL Times thing, meaning that the Times response to the NFL was on Twitter, because that's where there's a huge sports audience. That's where a lot of NFL fans are going now for information. So they went to where the audience was. And that's why you see the president in this instance doing the same thing. He's going to YouTube, or he's going to places, exactly, to the late night talk shows. And that's not going to be a big substantive discussion of regulation of the financial industry or of contributions that Bernie's talking
you
about.
You guys may be making a little bit more out of this than happens. So they asked the President of the United States to come and to talk for this prize. And he says, okay, and somebody writes a speech. It's the same way, you know, if he goes to a graduation, he says, okay, kids, remember, this is your country, and you could do better, and you can make it better. And he does the same thing with the press. Let's not look too far into this with charges of hypocrisy, Rosemary.
I don't know. The President Obama came out and gave a speech about everything that steelmakers are doing wrong in the country. That'd be major news, too. The President of the United States has a bully puppet, and this
is... You say puppet or pulpit?
I said pulpit, I hope.
Oh, okay.
Fix that, please. Pulpit. I might have said the other
one.
I
have a point.
And he used it in this case, and so, fine, we get to answer back saying, that's a good idea. We'd like to do our job better. Could you please let us have some freedom of information requests answered?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair on your part. You should do that.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think that even in nailing reporters and even in failing to respond appropriately to FOI requests, and by the way, Rosemary was not just
FOI, for those of you who are not in the biz, is freedom of information.
That's as she said earlier.
although there's a very famous joke about a psychiatrist.
Yeah, what's that?
How can you listen all day long to these complaints? And he says, so who listens?
So who listens, exactly. So she wasn't just exaggerating, by the way. An Associated Press analysis, I almost said AP, but I thought then you'd have to step
say,
in.
What is that?
What is AP?
Yes.
AP for those not in the biz. Anyway, it is an AP analysis that found that this administration has, in fact, stopped more records requests than any other administration ever, even worse.
Also was not exaggerating about putting whistleblowers, who are a huge source of information about wrongdoing in government. He has put more of them into jail for harsher sentences than any other president, and that includes Nixon, who I wasn't really a big fan of.
Right. But complexity in reporting, it is a difficult thing to do, because if you write a thoughtful story on a complex issue, you will get a certain segment of the audience, but you won't get the mass audience. But if you zap out there intense coverage of Donald Trump's aide manhandling a reporter, if you play this video over and over, people will look at it, and they will and if you play Trump making some outrageous comments, folks will hear it. So it's a very difficult decision if you don't reach the audience.
Added to all of that, aside from the difficulty, is the issue of bias. And I do think many reporters have a bias against Trump because we see the lies. And that does bother us, unlike many of
you
his
think
supporters.
They don't see the lies? People don't see...
I think they don't care about it. And we do care about it. You hear them. You hear Trump supporters saying on television, well, yeah, I don't like the way he said that, or that wasn't exactly right, but he didn't really mean it. It doesn't really matter. Look at the bigger picture. Reporters are looking at the small and mounting number of lies. And so when we report on him, is our coverage as fair as it could be? I have to bend over backwards to try to be fair to him because I just am repulsed by
it. It's a difference, but that some people believe that fairness means treating his lies as though you would treat the lies, quote-unquote lies, of Bernie or Hillary. I hear people on the right saying, they all lie. Well, no, they exaggerate. They select their facts to support their point of view.
Or they make mistakes.
Or they make mistakes.
And all of that is expected. Politico had a very interesting piece on how they go about fact-checking. And basically, they take everyone at their word, and they try to do research on where did you get this from? You know, we don't think it's exactly right, but what were you thinking when you said it? And Donald Trump does not even participate in that. His people will not respond to questions about where the information comes from.
Nor will he. And when he is asked, well, you said this. You said that women who have abortions should be treated as
punished. He said, no, I never said that.
Right.
He'll say, no, I never said that. Exactly. He will.
And then his aides have to walk it back and say, well, he didn't really
know. Well, usually even the aides don't. But on this particular one that I just mentioned, they did have to walk it back because he says, basically, I had a friend back when I taught at the Eagleton Institute of Politics, and this friend used to say, never apologize. Never apologize.
Uh-huh. One thing he's taken advantage of, and the press really has missed the boat on, is why do people like that? Why do they like the idea that this guy could go in and almost, I mean, maybe even really literally blow up government? They like that, and we've missed that. We've been reporting, this guy could blow up government.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, right, let's vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've missed.
Good point.
I think we're trying to get at it now, but it's ended up in being almost like a slogan. People are angry. Well, I think it's much more than that, and we still haven't gotten to it.
But and you know, it is reaping the whirlwind of, I think, a failure in education. That is, people don't have a sense of why government matters. They don't have a sense that civic activity has anything to do with them. And it's a failure that goes beyond what the press can really fix, but we have to report it.
I think I go back to the Tea Party movement, which is the idea that government is bad and there won't be any compromise. We're just going to state our principles and people like us for that, so we're going to go after it. And the press never countered that, really. We covered this Tea Party as a phenomenon. Oh, look at these colorful, weird people, witches and Sarah Palin and all that. And we didn't cover the basic anarchy of that idea. And now look at what we have. We have a Cruz who could get the nomination, perhaps.
We also didn't realize, right? We didn't realize until this, until Jane Mayer's book on dark money that is just now out on the bookshelves, writing a remarkable bit of journalistic work. Jane Mayer, writer for The New Yorker, has documented how the billionaires, led by two of the Koch brothers, are putting hundreds of millions of dollars into this, and how they actually bankrolled and subsidized the beginning of the Tea Party movement, which we all thought was just a little... I remember the first Tea Party event here in Albany. I thought, you know, it was a talk radio host on one of the AM stations that sort of led it off. And I thought it was just a quaint little gathering of people. I had no idea it was going to be so big.
You know, the Citizens United didn't really matter. Koch brothers are putting all this money in and not getting presidents elected, so they're failing. The truth is, and that book points it out, Dark Money points it out, they are in for a long haul game.
Yes.
And they are out to change America over a long period of
Well,
time.
It could be. I have to say, I hate to say I told you so, because you guys know I never like to say it.
No, I know.
You know,
you hate to say
I told you so. But as a political...
Or to take credit for ideas.
As a political scientist, I've always known who shows up in the primaries. You know, and that you can't outright somebody in the Republican primary, which is why Trump, faced with potentially losing the Wisconsin primary, turns around and says women should be punished for having an abortion.
But you can't, as a journalist, then fail to cover that.
No, not at all.
You know, you have
How could
to,
you?
Right, exactly.
The New York Times led
issue.
With it this morning,
right.
At least
it's
online.
It's a big deal, and so when people complain, you guys in the media are playing up to Trump, why do you pay attention to Trump? How can we not?
No.
What are we supposed to do?
And they're not playing up to Trump. Listen, one of the things I love about you, Rex, and there isn't much I love about you, but one of the things I really love about you is that nobody can deny that you are a thoughtful, honest broker of the press and that you don't go down the same road everybody else does. To some degree, everybody has to. But the thing I love about your paper is that, you know, you do not jump as the others do to put a really crazy story on the front page of the paper. You'll put it in, but it'll be a little bit buried a little bit further in. And that makes you different. The question is, does it also endanger you?
Thank you. Yes, the people. Actually, and you're not right that everybody agrees about that. I get plenty of really negative mail from people who are very...
why did you put Donald on the front page?
Yeah. People who belittle us.
Here's something I wanted to ask you about, Rex, speaking about the role of the editors and the power of the editors. Jill Abramson, former editor of the New York Times, ousted unseemly a few years ago, former partner of the writer of Dark Money, an investigative reporter herself, came out with a piece widely circulated on the internet saying, believe it or not, and I've covered her for years looking for dirt, Hillary Clinton is basically an honest person. And all this idea that she's untrustworthy is basically the result of lots of dirt being thrown at her, a lot of her by my own newspaper.
Could be.
And it's stuck, even though there's no proof she's getting a fair shake. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't think much of it. You know, I think you're right. Look, I've interviewed Hillary a number of times. I think she's terrific. I think she's one of the brightest people that I've ever met. However, when somebody knows she's going to run for president of the United States and starts taking money to give big speeches and the rest of it, that's what turns off Rosemary.
Jill calls that dumb, but not corrupt.
No, yeah. That's right. That's right.
Absolutely.
It's dumb, but not corrupt. The point is, it's dumb. And you say,
but
okay.
But that's a political analysis. That's not a...
it's not criminal.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that.
I don't trust her. That's the thing.
Yeah.
As if she's sneaky, shady.
I don't think that's sneaky. I don't think that's sneaky at all. I don't find anything dishonest about her.
Well,
in the context of politics, she's a politician who sees things in her own light and who puts things her own way. That's what every politician does. And it's our job to try to set the standard higher than what partisans would set. But I don't think she's corrupt.
By the way, stop right now. I got to answer this.
What's that?
I never said she was corrupt. I was trying to answer Rosemary's question as to why people didn't like her.
That wasn't my question. Can I get back to this? Can an editor do that? Was that proper for her to come out and say, here's what I really think about?
Well, what is her job now, though?
She's a professor.
She actually, I think she's become an MSNBC analyst. I think she's going
to
be on the air.
I would love to just finish the one sentence that I started with here.
Poor Alan. So
Hillary, you never get a say.
I don't. People don't get that, but I don't. But here is the thing. When Hillary was asked about why she took the speaking engagements, she said, we needed the money. Now, if you want to know why people have their problems with her, when you put a Bernie who says free education, healthcare for all, you can't argue with that. But when you see somebody like Hillary Clinton answer a question like that, which was dumb, as our author we're discussing said, you know, and says we need the money, people think that's ridiculous.
Well, okay, so it was an off-the-cuff...
Turns them off.
All right, but it is not something that should be disqualifying for the presidency. It has nothing to do with the qualification to be president.
No,
I think, the question at hand. Are people making judgments on superficial issues like that, or are they making judgments based upon policy? And what is the role of the press, then? Do we trumpet things like that? Which I think Jill Abramson is making her point, that we play up things like that. We play up, we generally in the press, the questions about her cell phone.
So you think the masses,
Whitewater.
So you guys think that the masses are dumb. That's what you two are saying right now. You know, we play it up. People are mistaken when they have criticism about it.
You're trying to set us up, but yeah, that basically is true. They think Vince Foster was her lover.
The great unwashed champion. I don't know how many people really think Vince Foster had anything to do with anything. I'm just simply telling I know. We're out of time, and as usual, I didn't get to say everything I
Folks, you'll have to wait a long time to hear Alan again give his thoughts, because it's just so rare. If you're a regular WAMC listener, or if you're listeners around the country, you can come back to this program once again next week. We hope. We're grateful that you do tune into the Media Project. Rosemary Armeo, Alan Shartok, I'm Rex Smith, coming to you from lovely Central Avenue here in Albany, New York.
You can get it online. You can get a podcast. You can have... you know, whatever you want.
Whatever you want. This is a contemporary 21st century media operation. Thanks for joining us on the Media Project.
Never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give 3 cheers for freedom of the press.